Agenda item number 12, presentation of possible discussion on fiscal year 2014, annual forecast, strategic plan by John Hall, Chief Financial Officer. Your report today, planning and development management.
We started this about 2 years ago because there was a couple of directors at the time who said that, holy moly, you asked for us to come in here and approve a $100 million budget in the span of a couple of hours. And we would like a second, third, fourth, and sixth reading, or I'm being funny now, but we'd like more time to look at it. So what this is designated to do is to show you the assumptions that we're putting into the development of the 2014 budget. If you go home and read that, and you go and you say, holy moly, why are we doing that? You call us, we answer your question, we get it back to you, and then we take the appropriate thing and we'll talk about it whenever we get up here to present to you the real budget.
Next slide. And just Phil said, this is, and these are sort of all the major assumptions. There's some small, you know, assumptions obviously throughout the budget. And by the way, of course, it's all preliminary. We are very much still in the process of working through the detail expenses of the budget, and in some cases revenues, although we got most of the revenues done. But the expense thing, we're still looking. We've got some scrubbing to do on projects and some expense costs that we're very much going to work through in the next several weeks. So it certainly could change from here, but this is a general idea. Next slide. This is sort of like, as you all remember, the Johnny Carson show in Karnak. I'm going to give you the answer here first. Although this isn't, again, it's not a final answer at all. But as we look at the budget right now, based on what we know, we're projecting a $4 rate increase for fiscal 14, for the next fiscal year. I may remind everybody that we established the current rate, 62.50, was actually established in 2011. That's when we went to 62.50, and then 2012 budget, it stayed the same. We didn't increase it. 2013, our current year, we didn't increase it again. So this will be the first increase in 3 years that we've had, and it'll wait to be seen whether it's actually $4, but right now the way the budget looks like, a $4 increase is sort of what we're looking at this particular point. The way, and I think if you remember some of the explanation, the way we arrive at what the rate needs to be is we basically take the expense budget, and then we take all of the revenues that are not associated with the system water rate, that are not at the system water rate, either other rates and then other things like lake operations fees and interest and all that type of stuff. And we figure all that and we basically back into what does the system water amount need to be. And you can see it needs to be approximately $20,300,000 in this year. You divide it by the number of acre feet that we have in contract, that we have under contract, both long-term and short-term. There's about 296,000, I think, acre feet that are in long-term, and the remaining approximately 10,000 is some short-term units. And when you divide that out, then that tells you what the rate needs to be to basically balance your budget. So that's how you sort of back into that. Next slide. Some of the assumptions, again, and in a minute I'll show you, there's in your material, there was a detailed five-year forecast that looks like this. And you can see that the rate this year, again, the increase approximately 6%, but as we look out in the future years, it could be 1% or 2% or 3% or something like that. Again, that's just a forecast. It'll be something different than that when we get to those years, but it's just trying to best to look out and get an idea of where we're headed. Also on the revenue side, one couple of the things that are changing. This year, we've assumed in the budget that we're going to sell the remaining Colorado water, the water we buy from LCRA, 25,000 acre feet. We have sold over 21,000 of it. Have been sold for a number of years. We've had a remaining amount that we've been trying to work with the Williamson County customers to buy the remainder. We think that that's actually going to happen now. We've had correspondence with them and stuff, and we think that that's all going to be sold in this next fiscal year. So that's an additional revenue that we have in the budget this year. And we assume, and on the lake operations, as you all saw earlier today and approved, a decrease in revenue from the residential docks and the elimination of the residential dock fees of over $500,000. Interest income, as I looked at this, I probably should have changed this. This is probably a little too aggressive. You just saw earlier there was a 64 basis points is our average right now, actually. So I'm going to probably go back and revisit that a little bit and see So it may come down a little bit. It won't make a huge amount of difference in interest revenue, but we'll look at that, the interest income. But it's going to be 1% for the next few years is the average rate of return. So anyway, next, on the expense side, what you see in your just yours was just an index projection of expense increases just for really illustration purposes. But what we're actually going to have in this year's budget is on a position side, on our authority position list, we've got two additional full-time positions we're going to have, but we're eliminating two part-time positions. So that's what is changing from a headcount standpoint. The recommended compensation increases, we have a 1% ECI, which is Employment Cost Index, that's going to be across the board, that would be effective September 1st is what we're proposing. And then in addition to that, a 4% performance-based pool. So that will be distributed based on merit and performance reviews and things like that as to how that gets distributed out. But that's the plan on compensation increases. So then on the last bullet, in the Possum Kingdom area, we have a group there. I think there's 16 employees that we've always referred to as RSMU, the Reservoir System Maintenance Unit, and they're the group that really work on the dam and have been for years and have done all of the rehab of the gate structure, replaced all the gate structures and all that over the last decade or more. Their expenditures from an accounting standpoint have been mostly capital in nature, capital improvement up to this point. But we knew this was going to happen, that the nature of their work is going to shift a little bit more to a maintenance, to an ongoing maintenance type of thing from an accounting standpoint. So it changes the treatment of it, as opposed to, in the past, most of the cost of that unit has been paid for out of reserves and stuff through capital expenditures. As capital expenditures, now it's going to be more in the maintenance budget. And so that makes a difference from a rate-making standpoint, in that it'll be in our operating budget and our customers will have to pay for more of that than they have. We've had the reserves. We've been fortunate enough to have reserves over the last decade. We've either borrowed money. Of course, when we borrowed money, the ratepayers paid for it because they paid for it back in debt service by paying for the debt service. So they did pay for it. But in some cases, we used reserves to pay for it. But going forward, it's really going to be in our maintenance budget. So we're transitioning into that, and that means higher expenses in our operating budget and means our rates will need to go up a little bit over time to pay for that. But it's obviously an appropriate thing. That dam is obviously highly critical to our water supply operations, so the maintenance of it is important. So, next slide. Just running on the expense, debt service. We really don't assume any new debt in fiscal 14, although we are looking at, and may very well bring back to you on July, a potential refunding of one or two of our existing debt issues. So we're looking at talking with our financial advisor, looking at the numbers, and it may make sense for us to refund and reissue a refunding bonds to reduce our interest costs and stuff. And we'll bring that recommendation to you, and of course incorporate that in the budget that we bring to you in July. Capital improvement projects, we're working with those. We've got a lot of projects on the book, and we're looking at estimating what we're going to spend the balance of this year, and then how that's going to roll forward into fiscal 14 and the number of projects that we have there, and that'll all be brought in detail to y'all as we get that really finalized. Well, this is just the 5-year. Next slide is what I mentioned. Go ahead. Yeah, there it is. This is a summary. You have a little more detail than the one that was in your diligent material, but this is a summary of those numbers, just sort of showing the current fiscal year 13 that we're in, and then showing sort of the next 5 years, trying to project out. And it's helpful from a standpoint, of course, of just sort of looking at a couple of things. Number one, where we can end up down at the bottom in reserves, which is clearly important. We want to make sure we maintain an appropriate, adequate, and healthy level of reserves. And then also it determines what sort of our water rate might need to be, our system rate need to be as we look out. But most of it projects our expenses out using sort of some index type approach. On the revenue side, we're a little more specific up there on the revenue, where we actually have some contracts, water contracts, that are going to expire out. And you can see where the big changes in fiscal 17, you can see where the revenues go from 40.8 to 45.6. That's some utility contracts with NRG and TXU at Lake Limestone and Granberry that are actually going to expire. Some large contracts that the assumption is that those contracts would become system contracts with those utility customers. And so that would result in a much higher rate that those utility customers would then pay, and that's why you see such a large increase. That's all got to be worked out, and it's obviously still a few years out there, but that's what we're assuming at this particular point. So that's why you see the increase out there in that time frame. Down at the bottom, one of the lines that has nothing but dashes on down there at the bottom, at divestiture proceeds. I just put that line in there just as a reminder that we do anticipate that we'll be divesting some property at Possum Kingdom in the next year or two, or whenever that can actually happen in the legislature, the bill and everything passes and all that, and the set ranch and other property in PK. So we, obviously I don't put any estimates or any monies in there at that point, but that will be something that will add to our reserves when that happens.
John?
Yes.
Am I looking at right? Our any reserve now projected to be 44, there'll be half that in 18?
That's what it says at this particular point. And I think, to be honest with you, 44 is probably conservative. I think it'll actually be closer to upper 40s. And when we come back in July, we'll have a better estimate of some of our revenues and expenses. And I think that'll raise that. Our capital projects are going to be about there. But you're exactly right. The way this lays out is it's going to have that. But things like the divestiture proceed, sale of interruptible water, which we don't budget for that because obviously we can't really project that as much. Those things tend to add to that. So I think it'll be a higher number as we go out on year to year. This is really the most conservative, probably.
And this is based on the new system-wide rate that you're discussing.
Yes, yes. And you'll see the next slide. If you go to the next slide, you'll see that it's based on the rate for 14 of a $4 increase, and then you can actually see it's a little more of a nominal increase, a couple of dollars here or there in the next few years. So again, that's just the best guess. We've got to maintain our debt service coverage ratio of 1.3, which you all establish to do that, which maintains a certain surplus that we need to have. But in any case, it's just a way to look at it. Now, we're going to be making this presentation, I guess it's in a couple of weeks, to our same presentation to our water customers, sort of the same purpose, to give them a little bit of a initial look at what we're looking at in the budget, certainly in final, and we'll emphasize that. The number may not end up being 6650. I don't think it'll be higher than that number. If anything, maybe less, but I'm not sure. It'll probably come in pretty close to that. So any questions?
What are the main drivers of the rate going up? I mean, if I'm sitting out there going to buy water, why are you increasing my rate then?
I'd say primarily three things. Number one, the RSMU we got that I just mentioned, where we've now moved some of that cost into the operating budget. We've migrated, not all of it. The RSMU department is about $1.7 million is the total cost of that group of people that does all that on an annual basis. We're going to migrate that over about a 2 or 3 year period of time as their costs. Sort of transition from more capital to operating. So that's part of it. So they're getting probably $500,000 that's going into the budget that's new budget expenditures this year. The compensation increases that you typically have, that amounts to several hundred thousand dollars just there. And then the other element is, quite frankly, the dock fees to some extent. You could say that's part of it. The loss of the revenue from the dock fees is part of it. So sort of those three elements. There's a lot of other ins and outs, to be honest with you. There's some things that go down, like the revenue that were LCRA, that's actually a positive, and that sort of offsets some other things. So it depends on what you consider. But those three things I mentioned are probably the largest contributors to the need of a rate increase this next year.
I'm not against the rate increase.
No.
I'm just
no, absolutely.
I'm just sitting there saying, okay, I'm going to buy water, but why are you raising my rate?
Right. And that's exactly what we have to explain. For those of us who go in June, to meet with our customers, I think it's actually July, where we have our three customer meetings out in the basin with them. We go through what we're doing, and the last part of that is really the rate hike. And that's exactly what we have to explain to them, and I've expected to. It's okay, if you're going to raise our rates, what's it for? What are you doing about it?
Does this anticipate the water well project we talked about
yes.
this morning?
So yes. The Trinity project will be in the capital project area. It doesn't so much affect the rates right now. It's more of a capital project that's probably going to be paid for out of reserves and stuff.
What about agricultural rate?
The agricultural rate continues to be at 70%. It's, you know, the you all established it. It's 70% of the system rate. So if the system rate goes up, the ag rate will go up accordingly at 70% of that. So their rate will go up. And that's taken, and that's built in. That's taken into account in the revenue projections.
What was the thinking behind that when that was done?
The ag rate?
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Forte.
Why was it 75, 65, or 75?
We spend it back.
No, I know, it's a very good question. It was.
Just real quickly, in 2005, the board, we had a very large ag, probably our largest ag customer contract was up for renewal. That customer came to us and said, you know, can you give us some relief? We were in the middle of doing a rate study time, and what the board approved was to freeze the water for agriculture at the current system rate and hold it there until we got through a lot of our analysis and looking out and seeing what other people do. We went for 5 years, and there's really no precedent that we could find anywhere nationwide of somebody differentiating between types of water. There were individual entities like the LCRA that had an ag water component, but that had such a historical legacy to it that it really didn't deal with current rate making policy. We brought the decision back to the board after that 5 years. Just coincidentally, the frozen ag rate, if you compared it to the then existing system rate, was roughly 70%. We said there's probably some compelling argument to discount water to ag customers. We only have 10,000 acre feet of ag to begin with out of the 700,000 acre feet of water we said. And so we said we can't find anything in the literature that really supports differentiating it. If an ag customer has a straw in a lake and the municipality has a straw in the lake, it's the same water, essentially. But with this 10,000 units and trying to be sensitive to that industry, we said we'll freeze it where it is right now. We'll freeze the ratio where it is right now. So the board adopted, I guess, 3 years ago?
John? Yeah.
70% ratio on that. It's pretty simple.
And there was also it wasn't an agreement, but whenever the people came up, the ag people came up and made their case, that was explained to them, and that was okay with them. And so, kind of.
I'm going to be pretty brief. John covers some stuff about the assumptions that he's using for the next 5 years. What I'm going to talk about is the assumptions that we're looking at when you take this plan out another 20 to 25 to 50 years. Next slide, Nancy. The thing that is going to be guiding us over the next that period of time is the fact that there will be a new water plan in 2016. We have the legislature Bill 1 back in the 90s. We do a regional and state water plans every 5 years. So the last one was 2011. A couple of things that really will influence the 2016 plan is we had a census in 2010, which is going to confirm a lot of the population estimates for municipalities, and then we've got a drought, as was pointed out this morning. And so we think those two elements kind of going in the same direction are going to require us to either identify new water supply strategies or accelerate some of the projects that had been further out on the horizon. We've got a project internally where we're trying to define those potentially feasible water management strategies. We'll be bringing that back to you in July to brief that with you. And then what we'll do is take that information, submit it to the regional planning groups that we're involved in, and have them embed that to 2016 plan. And that'll happen. 2016 plan is adopted by the Water Development Board in the end of 2016. But this is based on the 2011 plan as it sits right now, and some of y'all, most of y'all are probably familiar with it. We got about $2 billion worth of projects that are assigned to us. Next slide, Nancy. And they are tremendously back-end loaded. This is 2012, 2016. You see very little activity here. This is in hundreds of millions of dollars. You see out here, we've got a couple of reservoir projects. The Carrizo-Wilcox groundwater project really comes at us. we expect some of these projects to be migrating to the left of that, that graph with the 2016 plan. It's not going to affect the 2014 budget. It may not affect the 2015 budget, but we will start seeing some of our own forecasting starting to be influenced by those numbers. These are our contracts. The next slide, Nancy, is probably the better one. John just talked about the utility contracts that are expiring. These red bars are the amount of water that's at our system rate, and the orange bars are these utility contracts. And you can see that we've got a small one that expires in 2015, and about 100,000 acre feet between the two of them in 2015-2016. That, as John said, will have some influence on rate making and our ability to finance projects. Go ahead. This is what we call our dashboard. This is from 2013. This hasn't changed from when you approved the budget in July. We are starting to input some of John's numbers into our model, but it's so premature that what it's going to tell us is not a whole lot. Come July, when John's made some decisions and Mr. Ford's made decisions on the budget, we're starting to see what kind of projects are starting to come out of the initial stages of the water plan, regional water planning process. These values will change. But just to familiarize you with them, next slide, coverage. And if you looked at John's last slide, it had 1.3 across the very bottom of it. We target 1.3 coverage for our forecasting. It's something that you adopted as a board several years ago. It's something that the bond rating agencies like and the municipal bond community likes to see, a very conservative approach to their bond coverage. Our covenants say 1.1 times, but to allow for fluctuations in income and expense, we make it we budget it against a 1.3. Next slide. This is kind of an accumulation of information. The blue bars are spending cash. The red bars are when we start borrowing money, and you can see last year we were contemplating that we would not have to borrow any money for projects until about 2017-2018. This is the Allen's Creek project as it's proposed right now with the legislation that moved it back slightly. But you can see that currently we're doing everything with cash. Might start issuing a little bit of debt, and that will start influencing rates as we go forward.
Where in that Allen's Creek project is the assumed commencement of actual construction? I know a lot of that's design.
We won't be here.
John Hoffman can speak to that.
I think what we had originally anticipated was a 2018 start date per the provisions in the permit and the provisions in the legislation. But since last legislative session, those dates got pushed back. Memory serves me correctly, we had looked at the at pushing the date back on when it hit this as well.
2020 or something like that.
Well, the legislation pushed it all about way back to 2025.
Yeah.
But I think for the purposes of this,
yeah,
we pushed it back past 2018, but not all the way to 2025.
We about split the difference between where the old legislation was, or the old permit was, and where the legislative revised permit was. Again, this may change. It's just a phone call.
Did you have to go back and redo your permit?
Yes, we did. We had to amend the permit to make it correspond with the legislation, but it was an administrative change.
But you don't have to do...
And let's be clear, that date change is not saying when it will happen. It says it has to happen no later than that.
Is there any movement at all on that project down there?
By everybody but the people that count. City of Houston is still not budgeting money.
They don't need the water.
Go ahead, Nancy. We talked about reserves. Again, this is last year's forecast. One of the things that this curve, and next slide, Nancy, this curve don't contemplate is selling any of the water that we should acquire under the system operation permit. About 125,000 acre feet. Currently, it's allocated about 100,000 acre feet to the Comanche Peak 3 and 4 up at Lake Granbury, and then about 25 or 30,000 acre feet down in Fort Bend in Missouri County. Obviously, when you bring roughly $6.5 to $7 million a year in new income from that water, it smooths these curves pretty nicely. But again, trying to be conservative, we don't like to count on contracts that we don't have dry ink on. if Comanche Peak 3 and 4, if they don't get their license, we don't want to be forecasting and relying on that income. And scenarios that we've drawn with respect to them not acquiring that license is to contemplate that some of that water sale will occur further down in the basin in the Fort Bend and Brazoria County areas. And when you have that type of customer like down there, which are going to be municipal, they're not going to buy 100,000 acre feet of water all at one time like the Comanche Peak, aluminum would for that Comanche Peak plant. They're going to buy in 10,000 acre foot chunks every 5 to 7 years, and so that's going to change that income stream. Without knowing what exactly is going to happen with Comanche Peak, we'd rather just not count on it at all. And when we have reliable information, then we fold it into our forecast. That's it.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay. So,